This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
All right, so the winter continues. We've staved off spring for a while. I think we were in faux spring, and now we're back in sort of winter, and I don't know.
Well, it's sort of funny because I wake up and I turn the news on for a little while every morning, and as they sit there and said, there's a chance of snow this morning and you know, tomorrow morning. So I jumped up and I looked out the window. I said, oh, darn it, it missed us.
It's always that disappointment. It's like, you know, waiting for the check in the mail and you go and it's not there.
Well, I always get these memories coming back on Facebook of, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago where it's a picture of a dusting. I said, snowpocalypse is upon us.
See, I remember back in the day, like in the early 90s, we lived on, we had our house on 12th Street and we would get feet of snow. I wonder if it's just global warming. And of course, we lived on 12th Street and a lot of times that wouldn't be plowed. And one year we had gone skiing over Christmas and came back and we had arborvitae that were probably 15, 20 feet and they were all bent over. We had to cut them all down from the snow. So, you know, it cycles in because, that's what happens.
But see, that's the thing is, growing up in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area mainly, I always knew that, you know, the snow came once every 2 years and it was about 6 to 8 inches. And then because they had no effective way of getting rid of it, it would last like 3 days. Oregon's not a whole lot different. You know, we do get a little bit more regular snow, like a yearly, but it's not nearly the mass amount of a quick overnight dumping and then lasting forever.
My hope is that the mountains got hit pretty hard. I know inland Northwest got pretty good up in the north panhandle mountain ranges. We need it because we all know, you know, fire season is a thing in Oregon because, yeah, let's not put it out when we first see it. We're going to let it go and see what it does. And so having that snowpack is so important. So hopefully there's still kind of time. It's February 18th, so we still got winter for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to see some more come in, you know, looking at the extended forecast. I think the mountains are going to see a few inches each day for better part of the next week or so.
Good. Glad to hear it. Okay. Well, also, we talked about obviously be on the lookout for your Bi-Mart savings book. That is out. And we are in the thick of our fifth annual KYKN food and clothing drive. Nice to see I do the social media and stuff and seeing our partners out there really kind of, they're killing it. They're doing a great job getting lots of stuff in there for our partners, Be Bold Street Ministries, who will do good things with all the things that all of you are donating. So thank you.
Yeah, well, especially now with a late winter coming in, I'm sure there's a lot of unpreparedness out there because as human beings, we tend to enjoy when things aren't nearly as bad as they could be and then get shocked when all of a sudden there is snow and freezing weather.
Wait, it's still winter? What?
Well, I always joke because it's like if you need new tires or winter tires, you got to do them, you know, before
November,
things are
in November,
and when we do get that little bit of snow that finally hits the valley floor, the amount of people that we lined up outside of tire shops to get studded tires is going to be insanity.
But it's like you don't need studded tires in Oregon if you live in the valley. Sorry, you don't. Anyway, today's also Ash Wednesday, so there is that. If you see people with the ashes on their forehead, you know what that is for. Yeah, Catholics. Mm-hmm. Today's National Drink Wine Day. Oh, full disclosure, I'll celebrate tonight. I have a lovely Malbec. That's my wine. I'm a Malbec girl.
Celebrate tonight? Come on, let the celebration begin. I'm sure there's already some people out there celebrating.
should I light the drinking lamp for New Jersey time?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Well, I hail from Jersey, so okay. Today's also National Eat Ice Cream Day. Love that. Thumb Appreciation Day. Boy, the thumb doesn't get enough. I'm glad it has a day. What would we do without our thumbs?
Not be able to hold a whole lot of things. I mean, that's kind of a given.
We wouldn't be able to thumb up or thumb down things.
You know, it's what puts us on top of the evolutionary ladder is that ability to have a thumb.
Opposable thumbs. There you go. It's also National Pluto Day. Poor Pluto got ripped off. We recognized you, Pluto, and then we just took that designation away. I hope Pluto's okay.
Well, are we talking about
you think Pluto's okay? The planet. Not the
Disney dog?
Not, is it a dog? Is Pluto a dog?
Yeah, Pluto's a dog.
So a mouse owns a dog?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. This is the world of Disney. So anything can own anything. It's all equality and rainbows and...
Okay. And, all right. Well, there you go. But I know it's the planet because on 1930, it was discovered as a planet and then we ghosted it. And so sorry, Pluto. Sorry.
So sad.
Well, there was a lot going on here. This is great. Also in 1885, Mark Twain published The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Now it's like, well, there's language that we don't like in 2026. Are they trying to ban that one too? Because there's some decidedly of its time language that's...
Well, I'm pretty sure that you can definitely find at least some school districts that have banned that book, while they encourage other ones that are probably a lot more provocative.
Yeah, no kidding. Also in 1929, I like this, and we need to go back to it. The first Oscars were announced. No red carpet and very little attention was paid to it at all. There was no broadcast. Let's go back to that. We just kind of got through with award show season, and I'm like, ugh.
We have gotten back to that. No one pays attention to them again. Come on.
I think in a couple of years, they're all going to be on YouTube anyway. Speaking of YouTube, YouTube had a weird outage last night. Normally it doesn't have. Well, see, I stream most of my content and things that I watch, and I watch my news on YouTube, and it kind of went boom, and I had to go out on X, and that has never happened before, but to my knowledge. I thought, oh no, is this it? Is everything resetting? It starts with YouTube.
All right. Well, of course, in 1930, besides Pluto being discovered, there was a cow milked while flying on a plane at the St. Louis International Air Show.
Because why not?
Well, I sit here and go, let's bring that to 2025. And I go, if this IP-28 comes to fruition, that will be the only way to milk a cow in Oregon.
You have to do it up in the airspace out of Oregon. Out of control of
Oregon.
That's so sad. In 1945.
We can get to that more later.
And I'll have to say that that's America, because we can milk a cow while flying because we're Americans. 1945, the Marines stormed the shores of Iwo Jima. Excellent.
1974, William Randolph Hearst gives $2 million in food to the poor to open talks with Patty's kidnappers.
And of course, they got her back. We all, those of us who are of a certain age, remember that. In 2001, Earnhardt Sr. died. This was during the last lap crash at Daytona. He was only 49. I wasn't a huge race fan, but I do remember hearing about that. That was awful.
Yeah, that was
he was an icon. News. I mean, yeah.
And I always wonder, because I think in just one of these recent NASCAR races, there was a lot of crashes in that last lap. And I'm going, what is it about the last lap?
Right?
That
I don't know.
Leads to these wrecks. But 2010, WikiLeaks published the first documents leaked by Chelsea Manning.
I can't believe it's been 16 years. Mm-hmm. I remember when all that. And of course, Julian Assange, I think he's still overseas somewhere. Mm-hmm. But wow. Real quick, wanted to follow up on what we talked about, because this is gaining a lot of attention here, this exchange. The Central Oregon Daily has the story, tense exchange over Oregon gun bills leads to complaint against a lawmaker. This is getting a lot of traction. A lot of national accounts have picked this up. This is Rep. Jason Krupp calling an end to the meeting. I watched the video. I did end up seeing it. They stopped it. It was her name is Twee. Representative Twee Tran, who is from Portland. She had voted against the amendment. She had expressed concern that the bill was contradictory, raising the possibility that information sent as part of background checks could be used at a federal level to harm Oregon gun makers. So she voted no. And then you could see the air shift. And he called for a recess. It was an audible sigh. And then he went out and took her to the woodshed and basically, I mean, just apparently forced her to change her vote. And again, we don't know really what happened, but I do know that Derek LeBlanc, who, and I love this, a professional firearms instructor and advocate, which he is, and he teaches gun safety legislation, and I love that they're out there trying to say that he's not for gun safety. It's like, do you not know what this man does for a living?
I'm seeing a whole lot of articles, you know, finally this is after we talked about it, it really started picking up some Oregon news eyeballs, where I've seen some stories out of Central Oregon as well as the Valley, and they're putting him as a gun advocate who's against all of our all of Oregon's safety measures. I mean, they're trying to present him as like, you don't want safety and everything, and I'm kind of going, do you not know what gun safety means?
No, because they don't.
Yeah, I have yet to see Oregon legislature come up with something that increases gun safety.
None of it does. None of it. All of it's BS. All of it is. And so Derek truly is about gun safety. He teaches kids, you know, how to handle things, what to do. And again, so it seems like a smear technique. And then somebody commented, too, that he filled out something wrong on the form. It's like, shut up. So he filed the complaint, which is good. So we filed a formal complaint against Krupp following that vote. So
my understanding with that one, we'll circle back to that for a quick minute, because I think on the form that he filled out, it is an internal form for members of the legislature.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going, so here's the real question is, why is he the only one willing to do this?
Exactly.
There were 5-6 other people sitting on that thing that probably should have filled that out as well.
Well, and we all know, I know when Kotek was Speaker of the House, this has been their MO forever. This is what they do. If you don't go in lockstep, I mean, that's what it means to be a Democrat in Oregon, frankly, any other blue state. You will go along or we will make your life miserable.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what was said to this young woman to make her change her mind. But when the vote came back, she was clearly flustered.
I don't think she changed her mind. I think
no,
she
didn't.
Strong-armed.
She was strong-armed. Mm-hmm. She was strong-armed. This is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. So a little timeline on this real quick. He filed this with the Legislative Equity Office. This enforces Legislative Branch Rule 27, which prohibits harassment, discrimination, and retaliation. LeBlanc stated that eyewitness Rep. Jason Krupp verbally abused and intimidate Representative Tran. She had just voted no, and before the vote could be finalized, he called for a recess. He called her outside and threatened her for what seemed to be over 10 minutes. This is LeBlanc. After recess, the vote changed. And this is coercion. And this is, then they just don't tolerate dissent.
I've seen
pure and simple.
Yeah, well, I've seen some stuff wondering if there was a procedural error by Krupp during this, because once a vote has started, you can't pause it.
Correct.
And then if you were to do something along those lines, like it's a 24-hour window, so by restarting it 10 minutes later. Yeah, so there'll be a lot of questions. Granted, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the state of Oregon to rectify the situation.
Right. I know the complaint was filed, and I know it's been getting a lot of attention, and that's a good thing. And that's, I think, probably a lot of the motivation behind that. But the bottom line is that they're ramrodding. And again, this is the short session. We all remember short sessions are supposed to be for fixing budgeting errors, crossing a T that didn't get crossed, not this kind of stuff. So we're definitely keeping an eye on it. And I know a lot of people are. And again, if you don't have an X account, get one, because you're going to find it's all out there. Mm-hmm. And it's being posted. You can see how both sides are spinning it and everything else. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and the Perlin Mill.
Okay, so the SAVE Act is wending its way through. It's passed the House. It's now in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And I did see, McConnell? Dude. Oh, he's a no vote. He's barely standing. The man is barely functioning. I don't know what he's like 150 years old, and he looks every day of it.
Well, and see, that's my biggest challenge with something like the SAVE Act is this. It's not a party issue. It's an establishment versus power to the people issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how you feel about the whether you think we've had the cleanest elections in 2020 and 2022 and everything else, you know, we should all want to have 100% faith in our elections. And even right now, 50% or more of the populace doesn't believe that our elections are free and fair.
Correct. And so, you know, what it was calling for is to have, you know, a speaking filibuster where, okay, you want to filibuster this, you got to get on the floor and you got to explain why you don't want voter ID. So one of the things that's so hilarious, and we talked about this earlier in the week too, is like, so the Democrats want a woman president. They can't define what a woman is, but they think really women should be presidents, but they're also too stupid to figure out the SAVE Act and too stupid to get ID to vote if they've been married. Because the little woman just needs to stay in the kitchen and make the sandwich. She can't figure out how to get ID.
Well,
I guess.
And to me, that's the irony of all of this, is the messaging they are trying to literally portray is that, you know, a woman who were to get married because the name on your driver's license no longer matches the name on your birth certificate is going to cause a problem. And I go, but that's where a marriage certificate comes into play.
Right. So I love this. There's, and again, this is the Pierce County Republican Party up in Washington, and they're explaining it like it's 10. You're right. Your birth certificate is issued when you're born. Mm-hmm. It is the name you were born with, which is your maiden name. That never changes. Mm-hmm. You don't go back and update your birth certificate. That's what it is. When you get married and you change your name, it's the marriage certificate. And so that's what you use when you go to the courthouse. You apply, you get that, you get married, you have the paperwork. And then when you go in and change it, you do it that way. And you legally change it to your spouse's name or a hyphenated name, or you keep your own name.
Well,
whatever.
So the irony of all of this is they're using married women is their prime example.
Uh-huh.
They're not using Bobby deciding to become Bonnie as their primary example. Why is that? I thought that was such a big deal for everyone's mental health.
Right.
The other part of it all, and I sit there and I joke about it because it's true. So the people that are saying no to the SAVE Act are the same ones that believe that a woman taking a man's name, one, it's, you know, how dare a woman bow down and marry a man? But two, isn't that giving into the patriarchy, taking the man's name, changing your name, you poor woman? So I go, what? The only people that this should affect are those, you know, ignorant trad wives who, you know, the only reason they even vote is because their husband tells them to and who to vote for. So they should be 100% behind the SAVE Act because that'll eliminate those poor trad wives who can't figure out how to get an ID.
And one quick minor detail that I should note for those women that you just described, your maiden name is actually your dad's name. The patriarchy strikes again.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I think it's been proven that minority communities have wonderful ideas of where those DMVs are and how they can go about getting an identification. And a lot of them even know how to use the internet. I mean, it's crazy that so many of these mythologies have been debunked when you actually talk to people.
I know. It's crazy. So bottom line is the solution for this has always been there staring us right in the face. It's been that way forever. It's the marriage certificate. And so going and figuring out how to do that, women do it routinely every time they get married. I mean, if you're married multiple times, you got to do it multiple times, I guess. Or you hyphenate or whatever, but it's always there. That document has always solved this problem. It's a problem that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we've got people, and you were telling before we went on air, Nick Shirley is now in California, and the voter fraud. He found, you know, Fluffy the dog, who's registered to vote.
Yep. Yeah. There is actually a case right now. A woman is being federally charged because she registered two of her dogs to vote, and they voted. And her excuse, of course, was I wanted to show how broken the system is. There's a video of him outside of a Kinko's or a FedEx office, whatever, where they have PO boxes inside, saying there's over 30 people registered to vote in this location. He's talking to this woman, and he's like, could you afford to live in one of those PO boxes? She's like, well, that's a little small for me. And then she realizes that, you know, what was going on, and goes, oh, I don't want to be a part of this political talk. He went to another house where there were over 100 people registered to vote inside. Asked them, you know, did you get all of these ballots delivered here? And of course they did not. They had no clue what was going on. So that's a little ironic. But we all know that mail-in ballot is a prime place for shenanigans.
Yep.
And whether you believe that there's enough shenanigans or not, I have to sit there and go, let's look at an Oregon primary where we get 20% voter turnout and we have races that are decided by less than 25 votes. You tell me that 25 fraudulent votes couldn't change an election.
Especially in the low turnout ones. I mean, what was it, HD22 last time? You go to bed and it's trending one way, you wake up, surprise! And that was the one that gave the Democrats their supermajority back.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, you know, you go,
Things that make you go, I just sit here and go, if there's nothing, you know, no other purpose behind it, instilling, you know, the feeling that our elections are free and fair to the 50% or more of the society that doesn't believe that there isn't shenanigans happening should be reason enough to have the SAVE Act. But with people like Mitch McConnell, you can sit there and go, as part of the long-term establishment, career politician, he doesn't want something like this because that might mean he doesn't get reelected, especially in a low turnout vote.
He can barely function and stand. Mm-hmm. God forbid he's running for re-election. Honestly, he should have stepped down forever. You have, it's like Deborah, what's-her-face, Feinstein, and mm-hmm. these people who basically die in office. I mean, I am not for term limits. To me, I believe your vote is your term limit, and the citizenry needs to be active in that. Somebody is, that, I mean, he constantly has, like, where he just stops, and he glitches, and he doesn't, I mean, this is a person who should be enjoying his golden years.
Well,
same thing with Nancy. Get out. Go enjoy your grandkids, for God's sake.
She can't enjoy anything except ice cream, high-dollar ice cream. But I just sit here and go, you know, I don't agree with term limits, but at the same time, in today's society, with so many people not engaged, I think you almost have to have them.
Honestly, Hunter, I'm kind of like, geez, maybe I gotta... I don't know. It's ridiculous, though. It probably will. It looks like it probably has the votes. J.D. Mm-hmm. Vance will have to cast the tiebreaker vote. But then, you know, instantly, boom, it's in the courts.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. If the SAVE Act, if and when the SAVE Act comes to fruition, that will be step in the right direction to see if we actually need to think about things like term limits. Because if all of a sudden only legal votes are counted with ID, people that should be voting, and if things sprinkle out the way I suspect they will to a certain extent, term limits may no longer be needed because people might be held accountable for their bad decision making.
Wouldn't that be a thing of beauty? Anyway, yeah, and of course in Oregon you've also got motor voter, which adds to it as well. So there's all kinds of problems, and there's supposed to be that big audit. What was it, 800,000?
Yep.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, those are just the ones they found that shouldn't be registered, and I think that's a problem across the whole nation. And I wonder, you know, some of these deep blue cities in very red states, would they still be blue cities if voter ID came to fruition?
What a good question. I think we just need audits. We need to look at all of this.
And gosh darn it, what's the harm in an audit?
Well, if you got something to hide, there's a lot of harm. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Green Acres Landscape, again, one of our great sponsors for our food and clothing drive. I heard Charles on, I was looking at gold and silver because remember, it kind of went crazy, and then it's kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's ironic because it went crazy. Bitcoin went down. Yep. Everyone freaks out, and then all of a sudden, things just kind of start kind of getting back to normal, maybe.
Gold's at $49.95. Silver's at $77.83. So things are, you know, it's still going up. Anyway, that accurate precious metals made me think of that. Okay, IP28.
We were talking precious metals and this and that.
Yeah.
Well, if this IP28 comes to fruition, your chickens and your cows and your livestock, it's going to be trading at way more expensive than gold and silver. I might have to invest in that.
Well, this is supposed to we want to protect Oregon's farmers, ranchers. This is some... Their acronym is PEACE. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. People for what? I don't know. I don't even have the acronym in front of me. I wish I did. I don't have it. But good grief. Basically what this will do, if proponents successfully gather enough signatures to qualify for the 2026 ballot, it will ask voters if killing and injuring animals in Oregon should be illegal. On its face... You look at that, a low information voter, a bleeding heart, an one of those people, will be like, yeah, it's mean, and I don't like it, and I get my food from the supermarket, and it's wrapped in plastic, and I don't have to kill it. It comes in the little white styrofoam, so I'm nice and good.
Yeah, why would anyone?
I'm going to vote yes.
Well, and that's the thing. They will present this as killing your dog or killing a stray cat or, you know, to a lesser extent, you know, killing a squirrel with your car all these things that we need to protect these poor little cuddly animals.
Animal torture and cruelty, which is abhorrent, and it should. But there are laws against that. And I know that because I have a relative who enforced those laws for many, many years. And they are strictly enforced and nobody wants to tolerate that. But that's not what this is. This proposal would change the animal abuse statutes to criminalize hunting, fishing, trapping, killing, or injury of animals for food, education, and research purposes, wildlife management practices, and even trapping mice and vermin. It would also classify breeding practices to include domestic pets, livestock, and equine as, I can't even, sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. So what this would do is you can't...
I need a moment. Good Lord.
You can't breed your dog. You can't breed your horse. You can't breed your cows. You can't breed your pigs because that's sexual assault of an animal. You can't,
artificial insemination.
You can't milk your cows. You can't butcher
unless you're
your
on an airplane.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, or maybe out in international waters. you wouldn't be able to literally slaughter a chicken or even get to good eggs. I mean,
could you have the eggs or do you have, or would the chickens be considered slave labor at that point? I don't know. In servitude, indentured. That's how stupid this is.
Yeah. I mean, this would literally end ranching food production in this state. And, you know, reading through some of this stuff, they actually truly believe that if we were to eliminate all of the animals in this state that humans eat that are used for, you know, this slave labor of giving us substance, we could just replace it with more farmland and we could grow more crops.
But you know what these idiots don't ever get? When you want to have, because it wants to be vegan, everything needs to be vegan, and you want to have a vegan lifestyle, and you don't want to have your meat or whatever. But in order to feed your vegan, what do you do about the lettuce that's got rodents in there? Or how do you keep the pests out? Oh, they have to kill them.
Nope, they can't do that.
So you're not going to have crops either, because if you're not going to be able to use anything to kill the vermin that's eating the crops or the insects that are eating the crops. I actually knew somebody, I gave her eggs from our chickens who were very well taken care of. And when she found out that they eat bugs, this ridiculous woman wouldn't take them because they killed bugs. That's the mindset with these people. It's ridiculous.
Well, I just sit here and go, but let's go and sit here and go, what worries me about this, and I believe they need around 117,000 valid signatures to get this on the November ballot. And supposedly they have 80,000 already.
And they have till July 2nd.
So there's a realistic possibility this hits the ballot. And then I sit here and I look at Western Oregon, the valleys, and I sit here and go, how much steam could this get under the guise of protecting Fido?
So here's what I did. I went to my handy dandy artificial intelligence and I said, run the numbers for me, ChatGPT. What are the odds of something like this getting through in crazy blue Oregon? And after running it all, it's like, not likely, but it's possible, especially given the urban centers who don't understand, you know, the limousine latte liberals who think everybody who's a rancher or whatever is mean to animals. Oh, there's like a 45% chance that if they get the signatures and it gets on the ballot, it could pass, which is why education and us talking about the ridiculousness of it. And my understanding is I don't think peace even expects this to pass, but it's the MO of the left, of the progressive communist Marxists. They'll bring it back and they'll bring it back. And when you look at what's happening in the schools and the dumbing down of all of our education, maybe not this time, but what's to say it doesn't pass the next time or the time after that?
Well, and I sit here and go, the big message needs to go out to the people in the valley that, you know, believe that, you know, butchering an animal is gross because you can just go to the grocery store and buy the meat already, you know, however that magically occurs.
Right.
This actually makes it illegal for you to kill a rodent in your house. And I sit here and I go, and maybe the message to the people up in Portland, I have, my father-in-law lives up there and he talks about, you know, because of the homeless problems out there, when he gets on the freeway, you can see rats shooting across the road all the time. And these are big, gross sewer rats.
Because they're really well fed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with people who think they're really helping bringing food out and it ends up being rat food.
So imagine those rats and those mice literally taking over your living space. And the only thing you can do to get rid of them is to break the law. You think that you're going to be able to go down to your coastal or your old mill feed center and buy rat poison?
No,
that's going to be absolutely barred in this state.
So I don't, again, these are the odds based on artificial intelligence saying what the odds are. The bottom line is if somebody puts this in front of you and asks for a signature, simply don't sign it. You don't have to sign it. Deny them the number to get it on the ballot. And that will kill it before it even gets on the ballot. But real quick, I want to run down because a lot of people don't. They just, like I said, they'll see asking voters to make it illegal to kill or injure animals. On the surface, this will affect agriculture, farmers, ranchers, natural resource sectors, dairies, hunters, fishers, homeowners, and rural residents, recreational sports involving animals, restaurants and food service business, coastal communities, tribal nations and cultural practitioners, backyard livestock owners and small farmers, animal breeders, veterinarians and veterinary staff, rodeo, 4-H, FFA programs, pet owners, groomers, trainers and boarders, pest control professionals and companies, and wildlife and property management operations. This is a horrific potential piece of legislation. It's awful. It really is going to take educating people. And then simply bottom line, first day off the bat, don't sign the petition.
If gas prices and taxes haven't got you thinking I need to get the heck out of Oregon, if they make it illegal to literally have an animal that produces, food for people, imagine how skyrocketing the price of beef, chicken, pork, lamb, anything they bring into this state. You can't even get some elk meat from your neighbor who likes to go hunting anymore. I'm going, that may be the biggest red line this state has ever seen in terms of people leaving.
And again, if you want to be all vegan and all crunchy vegan mom, you're not going to be able to get your veggies you're going to have to compete with rodents for your vegetables.
So,
because you're not going to be able to keep them out of your garden.
Well, go out to the coastline and how many people rely on fishing out there?
Yep.
That goes away. I mean, you talk about destroying what's left of the economy of Oregon. Imagine if you want to go down to your favorite fish house and get a salmon. It's going to cost you five times, six times, because I'll have to import it from Washington or California.
Well, it'll be illegal. You'll have to smuggle it in under your coat or something.
Well, no, not if you don't butcher it here. It has to be dead already, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. We don't know. Anyway, this is absolute garbage. It's so typical of this stuff to be brought through. So basically the bottom line is don't sign it. If it does get on the ballot, and honestly, well, we couldn't do this. I guess I can't even, can I say whack-a-mole? Because I mean, that's cruel.
Yeah.
But it is. It's Oregon whack-a-mole. If they're going to get you over here with gases or with voter fraud or with, illegals being registered, they're going to get you over here telling you you're a heinous murderer if you want some chicken. You want some, chicken or you want a steak. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere you look, it is this. It's an assault on Norm and Norma, normal Oregonians everywhere. It's crazy.
Well, normal people that don't want to eat meat, they don't eat meat. These people that don't eat meat don't want anyone to eat meat.
Right.
I mean, I'm just sitting here going, yeah, you talk about the erosion of freedom.
Honestly, I know these people because I used to be these people. I was one of those obnoxious, well, because I'm doing it and I am very holier than thou and I am just a better, kinder, nicer person than you. I don't need anything with a face. I will look at you and I will judge you harshly. And then, of course, another quick question, too. Tribal fisheries. Will there be a carve out for the tribes?
I
don't know.
I wouldn't
think
so.
I'm saying tribal nations and cultural practitioners don't have a carve out on this right now. Mm-hmm. How much you want to bet if this goes all the way through that they would?
Well, yeah, they'll give carves out to their friends. You know, we don't want, where the governor wants to dine to not have, whatever she would like to eat available and things like that.
It is absolute insanity. And again, it's this constant assault on the constituents by special interests and the Democrats. And it's exhausting. And I know that's also part of the standard operating procedure is just to exhaust everybody.
Oh, yeah. And I just sit here and. The irony of this is something that you would never think was coming down the pike and you wouldn't pay a lick of attention to it. But the fact that 80,000 people have signed this petition already,
yes,
it's scary as all get go.
Measure 110 passed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's decriminalize drugs. That's a good idea. That passed.
Yeah.
So my faith in the big blue blobs on the I-5 corridor is not that strong. And then when you look at, because what was it, Measure 88, the no driver's cards for illegal aliens, the voters overwhelmingly, this was what, back in 2014? Mm-hmm. But the legislature, because even if this thing and the voters vote it down, if the legislature wants to, they're going to do what they did with driver cards. Well, isn't that cute? How sweet. Thanks for letting us know what you think. but we're going to do this.
Well, that's the way Oregon works. They have an agenda. They're going to make it happen. And if this thing gains enough steam, what's to stop, even if it gets voted down, what is to stop the Oregon legislature from deciding this is something we want? Because they despise Eastern Oregon. They despise Western Oregon. They despise the people that work hard to provide food for people's plates. They despise those people. And I'm kind of going, if that happens, when we've talked about the Greater Idaho movement, I could literally see half of Oregon just secede from Oregon and say, we'll take our chances independently.
I know. And you just look at what they're doing with the gas tax now, just complete disregard, and then playing games with, you know, people signing the petition. It's supposed to be in November moving in. It tells you everything. They are showing you who they are. Please start believing them.
Well, right now they want your kicker. Yep. They want your kicker again.
Well, let's come back. We got that. That's on my list too. Boy, show prep is wow. Yeah. Let's talk about the kicker. Let's go ahead and take our last break. And you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Well, the kicker is they've got their sights set on the kicker again. It's the taxpayer protection mechanism, and it's not a slush fund, but there's a public hearing scheduled on a bill to divert the kicker to school funding and wildlife suppression. And it will be, why do you hate schools and do you want our forest to catch on fire? What's wrong with you?
That's right there. Obviously, we need to protect those forest lands. We've seen all the big fires that we just let ravage us. You know, and without that ODOT money from the gas tax, I mean, come on, there's so many down things. The school funding one drives me absolutely bonkers. Because we are one of the highest per capita states in the nation in terms of school funding, but yet we are one of the worst in terms of outcomes. How is that possible? And how do they need more money to give us no results?
Right. And I think a whole bunch of them, teachers and students, went to Salem demanding more money. And I know we talked yesterday. Maybe if you stop indoctrinating them, stop saying that it's okay. I'm seeing more and more videos of parents, a lot of it in Washington, crazy enough. Where's my kid? He's out on the sidewalk. And then they're running out. And these kids are little creeps. They're out there harassing people. A lot of them, there's video of that. I'm speaking about the videos that I've seen, not all of them. Okay. Yep. But there's too many of it. And the one in Enumclaw was particularly egregious up in Washington, where there are charges that are being filed.
Good.
And these little brats need to feel some consequences. I remember back in the day, that goes on your permanent record actually meant something. I don't know if it means anything anymore.
Well, one woman literally claimed that if she had a gun, she would be shooting people. Conservatives.
Yeah. And they don't have any problem having that being recorded. So anyway, the kicker now, they want to divert that to school funding. And again, school funding is always held hostage last. They never, if it's so important to you, fund that first, Democrats. What a concept. Fund it first.
Well, the problem is if they funded that, then they would need to tell the taxpayers that you need to fund transition surgeries and abortions. And they can't do that.
No. And something just went through on that, too.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, I've got so much on that. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going through, just affronts to your pocketbooks, your morals and values. And again, SOP, standard operating procedure, modus operandi. The Democrats clearly do not care about the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm. That was House Bill 4088, which, you know, the Democrats have passed it. It prohibits local agencies from cooperating with federal investigations, limit extradition or cooperation in civil criminal matters, protects healthcare providers from disciplinary actions by licensing boards. And it's talking about the people that, you know, do genital mutilation surgeries and abortions. So.
And that the insanity has been crested, and you're starting to see big national organizations coming out and not saying that they were wrong, but we're just not doing that anymore. So you're seeing that shift happening in real time. Pretty soon it's going to be absolutely unthinkable that any of this was ever allowed to happen, especially to children. You're an adult, do whatever the hell you want. Leave the kids alone.
Well, if you're an adult and can pay for it, do whatever the hell you want.
There you go. Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, don't make us pay for it for you.
Yeah, so you want to obviously let let your legislator know, hands off the kicker. Good grief. Switching gears a little bit, because this is so funny. Of course, we watched this again. I love New York City. I spent a lot of time there. Oh, it only has taken a month and a half. And already, if you can see the picture that I'm looking at right now, be thankful that you didn't eat. If you could, the poop on the streets, now that the black gross snow has melted, that they couldn't figure out a way to plow. I don't know how. It's like Battleship. How do you navigate that?
Well,
I'm
just looking. That looks like a really crappy street. Okay. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it.
I see what you did there.
But yes, and not only that, but in order to get those free buses that were promised, remember, the governor's not willing to raise the taxes on the ultra rich. Mayor Mamdani is going to do the one thing he says that he has the power to do to bring some more money so that the freebies can be handed out.
Yeah.
And that is to increase property taxes across New York City by almost 10%.
Uh-huh. How's that? The warmth of collectivism feels like a tax hike, doesn't it? Awfully similar to it.
A little bit. But I just sit here and I go, you know, you talk about bankruptcies and this and that. I'm going, how many people? And at that point, they increase that property tax. You cannot sell your property. No one is going to move into New York to buy that property with a 10% tax increase. You are going to destroy everything. I guess, you know, we tried it again. Socialism, you know, they just haven't done it right. Well, I guess New York hasn't quite got it right yet.
Yep. And they're raiding other funds, retirement funds and things like that to pay for that. And of course, the buses are not free. I think there was a free grocery store that was open for about a week and it looked like bread lines. It really looked like Soviet bread lines. And it's sad. And it's destroying this once great city. These pictures that I'm seeing are absolutely atrocious. And so, you don't own property, but you rent it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your 9.5% rate increase. I have some dopey relatives that live in Brooklyn. I'm like, enjoy.
Well, some people
enjoy
really,
what you voted for, dude.
They're really pointing out that this is kind of a threat towards the governor. And as we know, with these crazies, they'll eat one another eventually. And that's literally because Kathy Hochul is up for re-election.
Yep.
And she is not in favor of taxing the ultra rich into extinction. So Mayor Mamdani is throwing out the threat that if you're not going to tax the ultra rich, we're going to tax those rich homeowners and property owners.
And that's always how it goes. Remember, it's always people making over, $400,000 a year? Was that the one that Biden kept throwing out? And then all of a sudden, no, not so much. And you either need to be very, very, very wealthy where none of this affects you or very, 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 very poor. There is no middle class. This is a hollowing out of the middle class. And I it used to be the working class lived in the city. Then everybody kind of got out and went to the suburbs. And I wouldn't want to live in the city, but it's absolutely disgusting. It's filthy. It's filthy.
Yeah, I just sit here.
So what
and
are
go,
you getting for all that tax money? Nothing.
Yeah. How long can a city the size of New York maintain as the working class portion of New York leaves and there's empty buildings? It's going to start looking like downtown Portland before you know it. Empty apartment buildings, empty buildings everywhere.
There goes your tax base. So again, who has to foot the bill? Everybody that stays. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying too, good luck selling. There's going to be a tipping point where you can't sell because nobody's coming in anymore.
Oh, if they increase tax rates by 10% on property tax, that tipping point will have come and gone at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an overnight stop any economic development, period, end of story.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see. And my thing, I get not everybody voted for this. And we've broken down the numbers of sort of native Oregonians or New Yorkers who didn't. But they're all bearing now the consequences of this terrible vote. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Votes have consequences.
Elections have consequences. All right, everybody, we are going to chat with Jeff Reynolds tomorrow. We're going to do a little extended show tomorrow. So be sure to stick around.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.